Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Thank you, Bill, and Brian, and Jeff, and Todd. What a powerful song. We always have a choice. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. The power of prayer and meditation, and how we choose to use those tools. To recap the series we've been doing, we started with the very first principle we have, which is there is only one presence. Say it with me if you know it. There is only one presence and one power in the universe and in my life, God the good, omnipotent. Don't worry if you don't know it. I'll remind you once in a while. This principle emphasizes the belief that God is the source and creator of all and that God's presence is everywhere. There is nowhere that it is not, no matter what it may look like on the surface, nor is there a force opposed to God. Our second principle is that we are spiritual beings created in the image and likeness of God. That means that we have the inherent goodness that God is, and that God's Spirit resides in every single human being, with no exceptions. Our next principle is we create our life experiences through our way of thinking. Michael talked about this last week. The principle that emphasizes that our thoughts and our ideas shape our reality. Today we're going to talk about the power of affirmative prayer and how we use that with meditation. Because that is the first action step. The first three principles are facts of existence. Presence, one power. We are spiritual beings created in God's image. We create our thoughts and experiences through our way of thinking. And now, how do we do that? This principle that we call affirmative prayer is what we're going to start with. And it suggests that when we engage in prayer, especially affirmative prayer, we bring about an awareness of the ideas held in God's mind. We may look at the world and we may see poverty, and yes, there is poverty. But we know that that's not the truth with a capital T. There is no reason why that should exist, except in our consciousness. And so what we use is our consciousness, our prayer, to change our perception of what is so that we can bring about the necessary changes in the outer to alleviate, be it poverty, be it hunger, be it war, be it prejudice, you name it, the solution lies in the power of affirmative prayer. And of course, the last step we'll study next week is who knows what it is? Action. Then we take it out to the streets, boots on the ground kind of thing. And that's how we change it. But there is a power that we have to tap into first. We have to change our thinking. We have to stop saying it can't be done and realize it already is done in spirit. That's why Jesus said, as in the kingdom of heaven, let it be on earth. Because it already exists in that kingdom of heaven consciousness, that consciousness that God is. Prayer is the way we bring it from that mind level into our own awareness. Teacher and coach Georgina Hudson wrote this: affirmative prayer is a spiritual practice where individuals proclaim their desires as already fulfilled, believing their thoughts and words can shape reality. We have to get into that consciousness that it already exists in divine mind. We're changing our mind through prayer, not God's mind. We change our mind. She goes on to say that this is a belief in an inner power, a divine force that can be accessed and used to manifest positive outcomes. And it contrasts with traditional prayer, I know the prayer I grew up with was one of beseeching and supplication and one of saying, I am not worthy. When yet our teacher and way shower Jesus said, you are worthy. You are the light of the world. Become it. Unity teaches that prayer is not supplication, but rather affirmative thoughts that align the mind and the heart with spiritual principles. It's about affirming our connection with God and claiming spiritual qualities such as love and peace and abundance. And then we tie that together with meditation. Meditation is silence and listening. We see it in unity as a practice of listening to the inner voice, that inner guidance that comes from the divine. And it involves quieting the mind and tapping into that so that we can receive insights and inspiration and even direction. We look at the world and we say, I want to change this. I want to change what's happening in my neighborhood. I want to change, let's take for example, people living on the streets. I want to end that. So we tap in and we say, God, how can I do this? What is mine to do? But it has to start with prayer. There's a transformative power that happens through prayer and meditation, because what we are doing is changing our vibration. We are aligning ourselves with spirit. We're deepening our spiritual awareness so that we can experience the oneness with God and with all life. Everything starts with prayer. Take healing and wholeness. There is no area of life that couldn't fall into the category of healing and wholeness. Think about it. We have personal healing needs. We have societal healing needs. We have global healing needs. Healing needs like ending hunger. Healing needs like healing the environment. Healing needs like healing relationships between individuals, between nations, between groups of people. It all boils down to healing and wholeness. And so when we affirm this, that life is healthy and whole in all aspects, we release. But what is it we release? We release our limiting beliefs. We release our fears. We release discordant energies that we may be holding, allowing healing on all levels, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And it has to begin with a daily practice. Prayer isn't just something we do in unity on Sunday morning. At least I hope it's not. You know, Bill and the band did that song, our thoughts are prayers, and we are always praying. But what is it we're praying? Are we watching our thoughts? Are we aware of it? So we encourage a daily practice of prayer and meditation as essential for maintaining balance and clarity and connection, because we know that consistency in these breaks down that sense of separation that realigns us with God mind. So let's break this down. What is affirmative prayer? Affirmative prayer is a powerful and transformative method of prayer that heals individuals, that connects individuals, that connects communities, that connects us with divine mind to bring about, to co-create the desired reality that we want. And I stress that word co-create. We create our lives. We create our experiences. And so when we are co-creating with truth, we create a finer form of creation, a more pure expression. At the heart of affirmative prayer is the understanding that everything in the universe is interconnected. Everything. We are all constantly connected with one another, whether we're aware of it or not. And instead of, we are constantly connected with God. And instead of viewing God as something out there separate from us, watching from a distance, we know that God is within us, expressing through us, through our thoughts, through our feelings, through our actions. And therefore, affirmative prayer is not about petitioning some deity up there with a long beard on a cloud to bring about whatever it is we desire, but it's about aligning ourselves with the energy that God is, with the consciousness that God is, with divine principles and affirming our inherent worthiness to receive the desired outcomes and to be a channel for those outcomes to express into the world. This is exactly what Jesus taught about prayer. Now, Jesus did not use the term affirmative prayer. It did not exist in those days. But his demonstrations clearly model it. By praying with faith, by claiming truth, by aligning with God's presence, he worked miracles rather than begging God to come down and do something. I'm going to give you some examples from scriptures about that. Matthew 7, verse 7, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Jesus taught that there's a spiritual law of receptivity, that when we pray, we're not convincing God to act. We're activating our awareness of what is already available in spirit. Hear that. You're activating your awareness of what is already available in spirit. He didn't say beg. At no point did Jesus ever say beg. He said ask, seek, knock. All of those actions are rooted in faith. In Mark 11, 24, "Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours." Notice he didn't say, "Believe that you will receive it." He said, "Believe that you already have received it," in the present tense. This is one of the clearest examples of affirmative prayer I've ever seen. He emphasizes that prayer is faith in action, believing that something already is true in spiritual nature, even before it's visible in the physical. It's not about hoping. It's not about pleading. It's about knowing and claiming. In Matthew 6, verse 8, "Do not be like the Pharisees, for your Father in heaven knows what you need to ask before them." The Pharisees had this thing, they would go out into the streets and they would pray loud, beseeching God, and they would do it very publicly and make a big show of it. And he's saying, no, prayer isn't about informing or persuading God or presenting a show for people to see. God already knows, the divine knows. The purpose of prayer is to align our awareness with God's abundance and wisdom. Affirmative prayer trusts that the divine good is already present, just waiting for us to bring it into expression, just waiting for us to give it form. But I think one of the most powerful examples of this form of prayer was when Jesus raised Lazarus from John 11, 41. He comes up to the tomb where Lazarus has been laying for quite a while in the hot desert sun. Well, not in the sun, but in the hot desert. And he says, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know you always hear me." He didn't say, "Oh, God, here, pay attention here, God." He said, "I know you already have heard me." And before the miracle even happened, Jesus gave thanks. Before anything had changed in the visible. That's affirmative prayer in action. Giving thanks before the demonstration. Giving thanks in advance, trusting that Spirit has already done its job. Eric Butterworth said it like this: "We do not pray to God for things. We pray from the consciousness of God." You know, people say, "How do you pray to God in unity?" And I like to say, we don't pray to God. We pray God. We pray that into expression. We pray what already exists in God mind. We pray from the consciousness of God. Because all things already exist in divine mind. That's the essence of what Jesus did. He prayed from an awareness of his oneness with the Father. That's why he would always say, "The Father and I are one." He lived from that divine identity and invited us to do the same. But he wasn't the only one. 600 years before him, the Buddha essentially taught the same thing. Even though the Buddha didn't believe in a creator God in the way theistic religions do. Prayer as supplication wasn't ever a part of his path. But he did teach that mind creates reality. And that through intention and through awareness, we shape our experiences. And that's where the teachings of different faiths, different paths overlap. If you did a Venn diagram, this would be the middle part. We shape our experience by the thoughts we hold in mind. In Buddhism, they talk about the Sammasankappa, the second step of the Eightfold Path, that what you think you become, what you feel you attract, what you imagine you create. That's a quote that is attributed to Buddha. I will say it again. What you think you become. And this one's important because it involves that power of zeal we talked about. What you feel you attract. What you imagine you create. Everything starts with an image. You want to see peace in the world. Hold the image of peace. You want to see an end to homelessness. Hold the image of everybody having a place to live. You want to end hunger. Hold the vision. Create the image of everybody having enough food. It all starts in imagination. And so in unity, we say that thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. What thoughts are we holding in our mind? The Buddha also talked about right thought, which includes intentions of love, intentions of no harm, renunciation of negativity, affirmative prayer. The Buddha also taught metta bhavana, which is loving kindness. That practice involves affirming good for oneself and others. You can't be loving and kind if you're not affirming good. We use phrases like, may I be safe, may I be happy, may I be healthy, and live with ease. And that I is universal. It's us personally, but because we are one, it's you. It's the people on the street. It's people in other countries. It's everybody. That's affirmative prayer in action. Speaking good into consciousness and radiating it outward. Karma begins in the mind. What kind of karma are we creating? Every thought, every word, every deed arises from intention. And so by consciously directing our thoughts and our intention, we participate in shaping our world. And it takes the power of faith along with this. In Buddhism, that's called sadhe, faith. Faith in Buddhism is not a belief in a deity. It's a trust in the path and the transformative power of inner practice, which is a close cousin to the faith that we use in affirmative prayer. We trust that the divine principle is always at work, is always available, and we affirm that it is real and active now. This also works even in quantum science. We've been talking a lot about quantum science because quantum science is showing us that these ancient teachings were right. We can now prove it scientifically. So quantum theory relates to affirmative prayer because it views prayer and meditation through a lens that brings in physics and offers a bridge between physics, between science and spirituality, which is what we do in unity. In quantum physics, it has been shown that everything arises and is connected through an underlying field of energy. We could call that underlying field the God presence, divine mind, divine energy. In quantum physics, it's called the unified field. One field, one being, one entity, one power. Unity teaches that God is not out there, but is everywhere present within that field of intelligence, of love, of order. And so in prayer and meditation, we attune ourselves to the divine presence that is all around us, in us, through us, and through all creation. Just as in quantum physics, particles respond to the influences in the field they are in. Consciousness, or observer, affects the field. In quantum experiments, it clearly shows that observing a particle at the subatomic level influences its behavior. Consciousness interacts with creation. What consciousness are we interacting with? Affirmative prayer is about consciously directing thought and intention into that field. And when we focus our awareness with faith and clarity, we help bring about spiritual results, spiritual truths that then transform and manifest in visible form. Similar to how observation collapses potential into actuality in quantum mechanics. Now, there's a lot more I could say about that, but I'm running out of time here. I love the metaphors between science and spirituality. Eric Butterworth said this: God is not in a place, but in a depth. Not in a direction, but in a dimension. God is in the unified field. In fact, I would go so far as to say God is the unified field, and it exists within God, which is all of us, exist within that unified field. So how do we do this? How do we practice this affirmative prayer technique? First, we focus. We focus on the desired outcome. Instead of focusing on the problems, affirmative prayer shifts the focus from the problem to the affirmative outcome. We foster a mindset of gratitude, of abundance. Myrtle Fillmore, when she did her healing work and went through every organ of her body, she didn't say, "Oh, look at you, lungs. Oh, you're so full of gunk. Yo, you're so withered, you're so weak. You poor, poor lungs." She didn't do that. She said, "Look at you. For 42 years, you have brought in air and taken out the oxygen and fed it to the cells and released the toxins and the carbon dioxide. 42 years. Thank you, lungs. You're awesome." Now, I don't know if she said those exact words, but I know she said she was grateful for the 42 years of breath she had had to that point. And she let the lungs know it. And because we know that every cell of our body has intelligence, every cell of our body can hear us, can feel the vibration we are creating. We are, in a sense, a tiny little unified field of living things. We know it works. It has results. Many practitioners of this use creative visualization. They imagine whatever it is they're sending healing energy to as being already healthy and whole. And in so doing, they attract that energy to it. That's why we can look and look at the things in society that need to be healed with the vision of what that looks like. Because let me be honest with you, looking at it from the viewpoint of appearances has not worked. Not once in thousands of years has it worked. You know, I always use the example of war. Think about war. We all want to end war. And in my lifetime, we have declared war on other countries, but we've also declared war on poverty. We've declared war on hunger. We've declared war on homelessness. We've declared war on you name it. We've declared war on it. Not one of those wars has worked. What if we declared wholeness? What if we declared peace? Let's try something different for a change. We use creative visualization. We talk about that in Unity a lot. We visualize what it is we want to see. And that's not magic. It doesn't just, we visualize it and it happens. We have to take our fifth principle, which we'll talk about next week, and add it to that visualization. We create the image, we create the pattern, and then we take the action as Spirit directs us. We use our inner power and divine alignment to align with the truth that already exists in God's mind. This brings about transformation, both personal and societal and global. We create the desired reality instead of just asking for somebody to come down and fix it for us. I heard a great truth one time that said, God or Jesus, either one, doesn't come down and do the work for you. Jesus gave us the tools to do the work. Jesus showed us how to use what we already had. So when we align our consciousness with the true reality, we discover that it's not that hard. You know, in the religion I grew up in, we had these long, powerful prayers that usually started with like, "Oh, Lord God, we are worms." It didn't really actually start with those words, but close enough. That's a synopsis. And long, wordy prayers are ineffective. Why? Because they come from the head, not from the heart. And they're often filled with anxiety and repetition or a belief in separation from God, like we have to shout it out there to change God's mind about something, rather than a centered awareness of the truth that is already within us. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, "When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father already knows what you need before you ask." Or I believe it was Black Elk that one time said, "When white people pray, they go into their churches and they talk to God for hours. When we pray, we go into nature and we listen." Myrtle Fillmore said, "Prayer is not a matter of asking for things. It is an inner knowing of the presence of God and the willingness to let God speak through us, to God express through us." So our prayers then, especially in unity, become simple and powerful. Prayers like, "God is my peace, I am guided. I am whole. I am loved. I am safe." And then we rest in the silence. Notice that they all start with "I am." Powerful words. And then we go into the silence, into meditation, because that is where communion happens. Prayer sets the intention, meditation opens the channel. So we become still and we listen. Ella Pomeroy, Unity minister, wrote, "It is not the words of prayer that bring the answer. It is the quietness, the faith, and the open heart." So that's really all there is to meditation. People say, "Well, there's got to be a lot of stuff to meditation." No, there's not. Just become still. Relax and breathe. Concentrate on the divine idea you created in prayer. Make your affirmation. Enter the silence and realize the truth. And then give thanks. It's as easy as that. The steps are simple. And by the way, the steps in a little more detail and an example of a meditation are in the app under affirmations and prayers under that button. They're all right there. So in closing, prayer is not a reaching outward, but a coming home. Each affirmation is a doorway back to the divine truth that you already are. Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.